If you are a sovereign individual, Panama is a great place to live that out. The fact that they're accepting Bitcoin, I think, is great. I think we need Max Payne before most people who are willing to take fiat gains actually begin to think about self-custody of Bitcoin.
Bitcoin does change people, and whether someone's in an ETF or their government's buying it, it's going to start incepting certain people, and they're going to start understanding Bitcoin to the degree we do.
Bitcoin's the asset that everyone's chasing. If you're chasing the shares of a company, no matter which one, they might have good intentions, they might be great people, but their goal is not to enrich you, their goal is to enrich themselves.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I've got Greer here with me and Brandon Gentile is joining. Guys, thank you for joining. Okay, up first, we have Panama City has officially signed a deal to accept Bitcoin payments. So Panama is moving in the right direction. Seems like everyone else isn't. To me, I think there's going to be a new sheriff in town. Brandon, I would love to hear your thoughts on the way that Latin America seems to be progressing toward the bright orange future while the rest of the West is kind of lagging behind. What would you think about this?
Yeah, it makes me think of the Gladstein's Financial Privilege, Check Your Financial Privilege book, right? And it's just playing out in real time. You have America just kind of toying around. We're gonna buy Bitcoin, then we're not. People here don't care. Most of the wealth, we were talking offline, is retirement accounts. It's all, you know, stuck in equities and bonds and different things. And again, why would an older generation who made their living off of the fiat system, why would they really care to change? So you have other countries around the world, Africa, Latin America, South America, you know, massive, massive potential there for people who truly need it day to day, a sound money, free money, permissionless money, trustless money, immutable money that can't be stolen from them. I mean, it's only a matter of time until everyone takes hold here, but it doesn't surprise me that, you know, Panama City, some of these countries around the world, these smaller countries, emerging countries are taking on to this. And we've seen, you know, a couple of years ago in Nigeria, you know, like the e-Naira, they're trying to push the CBDC there. And the young kids, you know, it's a very young country, like 200 million people, I think, what, seventh or sixth biggest population in the world, but no one is accepting the central bank digital slave coin. It's all people accepting Bitcoin. And the people know, you know, the market knows, the true free market knows. And so this is very, just another, you know, it feels like there's so many good things and so many different things happening all the time. And it feels like, you know, at times price should be in the tens of millions at this point. And someday it will be, because this is the kind of stuff that takes time. These things take time to play out and people actually start using it, pulling, you know, supply out of the market. So it just takes time, but these are just incredible little things for people who truly want freedom, talk about freedom, want, you know, love freedom. This is where it's at, because this, when you look around the world, these things actually taking place, accepting payments of Bitcoin. The more that happens and the more people use Bitcoin on a day-to-day basis and see the, you know, the fractions of a penny it costs to actually purchase instead of the 3%, or, oh, no one can actually stop my payment from happening. This will spread around the world just like everything else has in the last 20, 30 years because of the internet and because of people being educated on this. So we're still very early, but these are all incredible signs. We're obviously directionally going the right way, and it's I feel very, very grateful to be on the right side right now.
Amen. Greer, what's your thought on this?
Yeah, this is great for freedom lovers, right? So they announced this back in the spring, and we're finally seeing it come to life. And what I love about Panama is that, to me, it seems like a very easy place to begin a residency. They have a path to citizenship if you choose, but you can go visit and you can start working on becoming a resident there. And it's travel insurance, it's freedom insurance for you. If you are a sovereign individual, Panama is a great place to live that out. The fact that they're accepting Bitcoin, I think, is great. You know, it's tropical. If you're an American, you can get a direct flight there. So this is exciting news. And as Brandon said, you know, we're seeing Bitcoin be adopted. And now there are real places where you can go and experience that lifestyle. So I hope this continues. I hope that Bitcoiners embrace it. I'm planning on visiting and really excited about this news.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be interesting to see the way that the world takes shape over the next decade, 20 years, because there is still ample opportunity for the Western powers that be to overtake the, you know, El Salvador and Panama in terms of Bitcoin adoption and really, you know, take the lead.
I'm skeptical, though, that they have the political capital or desire to do it simply because they have the money printer, they have control of the global supply chains, everything they need for power, which is the ultimate desire, I think, of most of our politicians. So my hope is that this is just one of these steps along the way that we continue to see little baby steps until it's just too late and we have this sort of maybe balance of influence in the world that we simply haven't had the last 100 years and for most of history. So time will tell, but very exciting news coming out of Panama. Alrighty, up next, we've got Bill Miller telling CNBC that there are $60 trillion in retirement funds eyeing Bitcoin. We're not going to show the video because it's a little bit long, but I think one of the points he makes is that even if ultimately a 1% allocation of that $60 trillion comes into Bitcoin, you're looking at $600 billion. Greer, I think you did the math. I sure didn't. I can't even use a calculator. But a lot of capital is sitting on the sidelines today that I think in the coming years are going to begin trickling into Bitcoin as it becomes undeniable that it's here to stay. Greer, what would sort of your bull case for this be? Where do you think this is going? Do you think it is worthy of the optimism that Bill Miller feels, or do you think this is going to be one of those things that people ignore it till it's a million a coin and then ignore it till it's 5 million a coin? What do you think is going
to
happen?
Yeah, it's easy to be a bull on this one. And if you do the math and look at the amount of Bitcoin that's available, let's just say there's 4.5 Bitcoin that could be purchased, 4.5 million Bitcoin that could be purchased today. Some people say there's 3.5 or 1.5 that's available, 1.5 million. But if you take 600 billion, that would buy all of the available Bitcoin. There is no Bitcoin except for what's being mined. So we're talking about huge numbers of Bitcoin going off the market in a hypothetical scenario. So I think 1% is probably modest. We'll probably see it increase over time. Some of this will be passive. But if people unlock their 401ks and start investing in Bitcoin and they do it, 1% allocation is nothing. We're talking about a huge pool of money. And there's really not that much Bitcoin. Yes, there's about 900 and something million that are liquid. But if you were to kind of put a number on it, we're talking about the max is 4.5 million Bitcoin. And this effort here could soak that up. And not to mention all the other competing interests trying to stack Bitcoin.
Brandon, I got two questions for you on this. So, and I would like to hear comments. I would love for our viewers to leave a comment, give their thoughts. Do you think, first of all, are you bullish that this is going to create a lot of inflows into these retirement accounts? But maybe more importantly, this is what I'm skeptical of, is many people in the Bitcoin space say that the ETFs and, allocating a little bit in, sort of paper Bitcoin here and there is going to foster interest, and they're going to get a little bit of ETF exposure, and then eventually they're going to start reading the Bitcoin standard and then go down the rabbit hole and take self-custody eventually. I'm skeptical of that. I think we need max pain before most people who are willing to take fiat gains actually begin to think about self-custody of Bitcoin. You disagree with me if you want to.
No, I can't. I really wish I could. I will say, this is why we spend all of our time and energy trying to educate people. And I'm not going to lie, at times it feels like a fruitless endeavor. And you're kind of wondering, why am I doing this? Why am I doing podcasts? Why are we recording, educational videos? Why are we writing books? Because at the end of the day, you look at the Bible, for crying out loud, right? It's a story of thousands of years of people, shooting themselves in the foot, in essence, and going away from truth, and then having to learn hard lessons. It's a book of principles wrapped in stories so people can understand them. That's literally what it is at its essence. And here we are doing the same things over and over again. And people love touching the stove. They love, getting punched 100 times in the face, and then realizing, oh, I'm in a bar fight. I should probably defend myself or run away. And I don't know what it is. I have no idea. I would love to say, hey, we can learn from our mistakes. We can build on our previous, ancestors and all the information they've accumulated, all the mistakes they made. But we seem to not like to do that. And especially with all the information available today, this should be happening much easier and quicker. With all that being said, obviously the last 5 years have woken up more people. 20 years ago, I think we've even talked about this before, but 20 years ago, if you would have told me as a younger kid or an older teen, hey, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be, the wealthiest guy in the world can be talking about conspiracy theories and, whatever, things like that. I mean, I would have laughed at you. So, I mean, we've made progress, but the fact that it still is taking this long, I mean, this is massive news. So in saying that, in wrapping that point up, I'm hopeful in the sense that I do believe that, I don't know how to square the circle. And again, Bill Miller is great. I'm going to touch on this. So I think this is really important because the whole treasury debate and all these different things, I do believe that Bitcoin is the Trojan horse, truly. And I do believe you have to get inside the city gates. I fall on the cypherpunk side of, hey, I want every human being to have it first before corporations and before governments. I just don't know how to square that circle. Going back to this Max Payne, how humans really learn, I wish it was that way. I just don't know if in reality it plays out that way because, again, like you said, like America in the last segment, America, all these countries that have a lot of wealth already in the fiat system, they still have a lot of runway to then come in and take a lot of Bitcoin and buy a lot of Bitcoin and take over, and be the leader in that world as well. And that's just life, So, I mean, I don't know how to square that circle. I don't know if we need to be like a bunch of elves in the North Pole, like building Bitcoin in the shadows. And then we like unveil it like 10 years from now and just kind of like go into hiding. And then like, hey, here it is, guys. Like we've got it. And sorry, corporations, like all the little guys are scooping. I don't know. And I'm trying to be funny, but also at the same time, like I've struggled with this and I've had a lot of people. We talked about this. I've talked about it on the show a lot and everyone's got very differing opinions. At the end of the day, like if it stays decentralized and secure, Bitcoin does, and we truly believe it's a Trojan horse and does change people because it's changed myself and I was already pretty radical. But if it's changed me to even a more of a degree to just understanding kind of the world and understanding both sides and how we really are all on the same team. And I've seen a lot of people that were I came from the right side of the spectrum, 20 years ago, 15 years ago. And I've seen a lot of people that are our age on the left side of the spectrum. And now we believe we always did believe 99% of the same thing. We just told we weren't. But if all of us are coming together, I have to believe that it does truly change people. Bitcoin does change people. And whether someone's in an ETF or their government's buying it, it's going to start incepting certain people and they're going to start understanding Bitcoin to the degree we do. And then you start getting this process of now people in government understand Bitcoin, they're grokking it. And then they're like, well, wait, why? Then they're questioning their reality and like, well, what are we doing here? What are we doing there? And that's going to take time. Again, that's where I go back to, I don't know the answer. I don't know how this all unfolds. So sorry to kind of hijack the Bill Miller post, but this is something I really struggle with. So I would love your guys' thoughts on it too, actually, because I don't know the answer.
You sound bullish to me.
I'm extremely bullish. I mean, I couldn't be more bullish, but we're going to get punched in the face a few more times. Let's just say that. I know that.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we can only speculate on how this all plays out. What we can continue to do is produce the content, do the podcasts, write the books, tell our friends and family, orange pill the ones we love, and let the chips fall where they may. So that's ultimately sort of where I stand.
All said.
All right. I think we talked about Nakamoto last week, I think, and someone was blocked today from buying Nakamoto through Fidelity. They basically said they have a note. It's on one of our lists as a potential pump and dump. And the man, David Bailey himself, responded and he said, obviously he defended Nakamoto, but he said, hope it's not true, but you're not the first person to report this. Haven't looked at their stock chart, but as of last week, I know it was it looked something like a pump and dump. I'm not in any way calling out motives or anything like that. I have no idea what David Bailey's thinking or anyone else, but I do know that insiders get in first and they see massive gains early on when there's excitement in the market, and they have an incentive to sell, and they have an incentive to sell at a much higher price or much higher gain than many of the common retail investors got in at. So regardless of motivation, I think this is going to be a common theme that we see. Brandon, I would love to hear your thoughts.
Oh boy. Yeah. This kind of goes right back into the thing we were saying. I mean, obviously, like you said, you resign yourself to like, this is a calling. Clearly we do have to educate people. I'm not going to stop doing it, even though you do feel crazy at times because I mean, buying Bitcoin, putting in self-custody, putting your seed phrase on a titanium seed plate, that's the best, right? Like suffocating the system. That is the true revolution, suffocating the system and defunding the system. I mean, that's why, like, I laugh, like, people are always like, well, what are you gonna do, just buy Bitcoin and hold it? It's like, yeah, there's literally nothing more moral, better for society, anything you could do than buying Bitcoin, getting rid of selling your fiat, buying Bitcoin, putting in cold storage, and suffocating, defunding this corrupt fiat legacy monetary system, that base system we're in. Like, there's literally, what are you going to go do? You know, you're going to go to work today and you're going to make bicycle parts. Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do that's going to provide more for society than suffocating the system? That's literally the story. I mean, look, like TikTok, all these videos that, again, they come up from time to time, but just whatever reason, I feel like there's been more this week of people like losing their minds, getting evicted, making these, you know, these sob stories. And you just sit there and you're like, wow, like the answer is right there. If you want it, you know, if you want it. So, you know, going back to this, like, just be careful with stuff like this. I think it's a great, you know, warning sign of like, again, and I'll give credit to Jack Mullers. I think he comes on, whether I don't know his companies. I don't know how they work and what he's doing inside, but I give him credit. He does come out and says like, hey, like these companies I have, if you're investing in these companies, they are companies. They are not Bitcoin. Like, we hold Bitcoin, but they are not Bitcoin. I wish other people would come out and do that as well and really delineate and say, hey, this is a company and we are buying Bitcoin, but just know the difference. Bitcoin and self-custody is the game. Over here, we're building a company with hopefully Bitcoin products or Bitcoin thing, you know, whatever. So I think that's where people need to be careful at the end of the day. It's like, are companies just coming in here just to buy Bitcoin? Are they providing other services? Like, what are they doing? What's happening? No, you're buying an equity. It's not actual Bitcoin. And even if there's a like-kind redemption, you got to be careful, right? Because again, now you're trusting the system still that they're going to go send you, oh, I want my Bitcoin back. Well, do you have to send a warship over there like France did 50 years ago to get your Bitcoin? Or like, how is this going to work? So I think it's a really good story to just bring up and just remind people.
Yeah, well said. And hint, it's not your Bitcoin anyway. You don't get it. You don't have to bring a warship. It's their Bitcoin. You're just getting fiat and recurrent if it goes up. Greer, I think you brought the story to my attention. What's your take?
Yeah, the insiders are doing fine. So they bought at $1.12 and it's $9.59 right now. So they're doing fine. If you didn't get in early, you're probably not doing that well. So I think not to dump on these guys too much, but my opinion is they're like an alien ship, right? They discover a place on the earth and they go there, seed that company with Bitcoin. The people that live in that country invest in the company with their fiat currency. The stock price goes up and then Nakamoto they are forced to sell 40% of the shares they hold in the company that they bought. So they're going around the world. This is the idea. Seeding Bitcoin companies that where Bitcoin is not present. Think of Metaplanet. But at the end of the day, these are the guys buying their own Bitcoin. They're taking the resources from the people on the ground, selling them a stock, and then essentially issuing more shares back, which could have the effect of making the stock price go down. So to me, this is a way for one group to get more Bitcoin. And if you're going to do anything, just get more Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin's the asset that everyone's chasing. If you're chasing the shares of a company, no matter which one, they might have good intentions, they might be great people, but their goal is not to enrich you. Their goal is to enrich themselves. So instead of trying to, you know, jump on their bandwagon, just do what's best for you, which is buy Bitcoin, move it into self-custody, and as Brandon said, you know, starve the fiat system. So I don't love seeing, you know, these negative stories, but for me, it's just another sort of mark on the bedpost. This is another one to stay away from.
Well said.
Really, really quick with this. This was like what Warren Buffett did this as well too. Like, people make him out to be some, you know, genius, altruist, whatever, but it's like he did the same thing, right? Like, he took people's money and then went and invested it. He's worth, you know, $200 billion and the average guy is not worth $200 billion. So, you know, and again, there's more nuance to that, but it's just knowing what you own. These guys are taking your money and just like a bank does. I mean, like a bank takes your money and then if you don't know how to invest your own money, then the bank's there to take your money and then go invest it in you know, savvier deals and things that they have access to that the little guy doesn't. So they go take it and they make a spread on that. I mean, this is like a very simple process that like all the wealthy people use on the average guy, because the average guy just, you know, is caught in the rat wheel and can't take 2 seconds to figure out how to invest his money, where to put it. And that's the beauty of Bitcoin, is now it can sit there, like you had just said, you buy Bitcoin, put in cold storage, and you beat all of these dudes. It's pretty simple. But in saying all that, I think this is where people get caught up. Like, why are you investing in a company or getting another stock that's a proxy for Bitcoin when you can, again, just sit in Bitcoin and beat them? Legacy assets will be, like, I've been going through ChatGPT a ton because, like, I came from the real estate world. And like you said earlier, Michael, like, I come from that world where there at some point it will make sense to get back into legacy assets, but we're at the you know, so-called S part of the curve, where it's going to go exponential really for the next 5, 10, 15 years, whatever. At some point, maybe 20 years from now, I even talked to Dr. Jeff about this a few months ago, and he's like, yeah, 20 years ago or 20 years from now or whatever, like, it probably won't make sense to just buy Bitcoin and just like sit there. It'll be your savings, it'll be money. So like, but you're not going to like, I'm investing in Bitcoin, because right now it's multiple things. It's an investment, it's a savings technology, it's multiple things. But the investment part might go away 20 or 30 years from now. Then you take your Bitcoin, once you've held it and saved, like we've all been taught to save, and then you go deploy it at some point into dividend paying stocks or an apartment complex or, you know, the Walgreens in the corner or whatever it is. Because then at that point, maybe they're making 15, 20% and the Bitcoin's only going up 12 or 14%. You know, it's like there's time and place for these things. And I think that's what, again, the average person has to understand, that there's nuance and there's layers to this game.
Well said. Alrighty, up next, speaking of taking your Bitcoin into self-custody, cold storage. So just a few days ago, a victim fell for a social engineering scam and lost 783 BTC worth $91 million after exchange and hardware wallet customer support were both impersonated. This came across my desk late last night, so I didn't get a chance to dig into the details. But the long story short, the takeaway for me is, if you have your Bitcoin in cold storage and you take it off of the exchange and use open source hardware wallets, there is no reason you should ever fall for a social engineering attack. There's no one who needs your seed phrase. There is no address that you don't need to send, that you need to send your Bitcoin to, unless it is upon your desire voluntarily to do so. Greer, this is near and dear to our hearts, and it's always sad to see these situations, but it's just a reminder that not only are, when you have your keys on an exchange, your coins on an exchange, not only are you taking on counterparty risk, not your keys, not your coins, it's an IOU, but you're also exposing yourself to the possibility of an attack that simply doesn't need to happen if you just hold the keys yourself. Any comment on this?
Yeah, I assume everyone has your email, they have your phone number. You know, there was a story about a Coinbase employee who gave up, you know, very high value clients, gave up their information. So if your Bitcoin's stored offline in cold storage, no email is going to convince me to worry about it. You know, no text message, no link. I mean, you cannot be socially engineered if you're holding your Bitcoin the right way. I mean, other than that, like, you know, you're playing a risky game. Not only can you get hacked or get social engineered, but the exchanges can even lock you out, or they can say, hey, we need all of your information. We need to know where the funds came in to purchase the coin that you have on our platform. And so when we say counterparty risk, it just means that somebody else has permission, or you have to ask someone else for permission. And, you know, Bitcoin and cold storage needs no permission. That is the revolution. That is what's different. Being able to store, to send, and to let it sit there without anybody telling you what to do about it. So, you know, I feel very, you know, sad for this person. But if you do it the right way, you won't be a victim.
Amen. Brandon, would you add anything to that?
Yeah, the only thing, I've stolen some other segments, so I'm going to keep this really quick. It's crazy now, because like I get spam texts all the time. So I know there's been some rule changes in the last handful of years with, like, you know, they just, you know, whatever. It's Wild West now with texting. But I get 10, 15 spam texts a day. I get spam emails all the time. We've all been getting those for 20 years, basically. And then spam calls, you know, all the time. Probably get at least 5-7 a day. Like, if it's important, like, again, someone will contact you. And again, like, if you're going to try to get to support and you're doing it yourself and initiating, that's one thing. So you have to be careful, like you guys said. But all the incoming stuff and the people that you see, the phishing attacks, like, just why are we even answering this stuff at this point? I think that's what the younger generation like got right, because we've grown up in this world where, like, the older generation, unfortunately, it's like every time the phone rings, we're like picking it up. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, unless you have the person's number and you know who it is, just let it go. Just if it's important, it'll come back around. Calls, texts, emails, like, it's okay. It'll be there if it's important. So that's the only thing I have to add.
Yeah, I completely agree. Alrighty, up next, Yahoo Finance reports. Forget the 60-40 portfolio. Vanguard says go 70% bonds in today's market. And they go on to say that this is something that they anticipate over, I think, the next decade. They think that the average annual returns for the stock market for U.S. equities are going to be about 3.3 to 5.3, compared with bonds at 4 to 5%. I know the guys at Vanguard are way smarter than me. I think someone probably needs to hand them a copy of Larry Lepard's The Big Print so they understand monetary inflation, the likelihood of a big print coming, the impact that that would have on the real return of bonds. I don't know, guys. This is like they completely fumbled it on the Bitcoin ETF. I don't know what to tell you about Vanguard. Brandon, why don't you take this one?
I have great hope. Again, it's kind of been the theme of the show in a way. Again, educating people, talking about people. I have some family members. Again, people that are starting to get orange pilled. Again, there's, you know, it takes time and education. So the more these people, and I know, and they're older, you know, we'll say Gen X, Boomers, and you know, stuff like that, and they're beginning to realize what's happening and taking their assets and starting to move them. So again, like vanguarding themselves and being highly vanguarded, these you know, insurance companies, like you're built on this Ponzi, on this house of cards, on, you know, it's like the economic system's up here, but the monetary layer was what you build your economic system on top of. And that's why I think that, again, no one was taught that in school, but you have to have this, you know, built on rock. And when you have this faulty sand layer, the fiat currency, then anything you build on top of that, capitalism at all, it starts to wobble and it starts to crash eventually when the storms hit. And that's why you see people now like, well, we need to change economic systems, because they bundle it all together and think like the money. I've had people, you know, well, inflation's part of capitalism and blah, blah. You know, it's like it's mind blowing. So this right here, again, we are very early, but people are, the last 5 years have fortunately sped this curve up, that people are starting to realize, hey, this is what's going to happen. They'll start losing money. I mean, Saylor has talked about this a ton, right? Like, if you're not getting ahead of the curve with your company, going back to this company and equity and shares and all this, you will start losing talent, and you'll start losing the people lending to you and buying your stock to other companies who get this. So will Vanguard exist in 5 years or 10 years? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they have to pivot at some point, and they will, because you're like doubling down on stupidity here. Like, we're going to go further into this asset that's going to get destroyed. Wild. Absolutely wild.
Yeah, we could take the orange pill now or the orange suppository later. And
it's great.
Vanguard's going to learn that the hard way.
Yep.
Greer, what would you add to that?
I would think they'd be interested in the Bitcoin ETFs just from the fees alone. You know, you can look at BlackRock charging whatever, 0.5%, or I can't remember what it is, but it's one of the most productive products for their business. The fees that they're charging on holding over 1 million Bitcoin for their customers is just enormous. Why wouldn't a company like Vanguard be interested? So to me, it looks like they're trying to put out something new, change the conversation. It's not 60-40, it's 70-30, and we're going to completely ignore Bitcoin, which is the best performing asset of the last 15 years. It feels intentional, and I like how you said they're vanguarded. But yeah, it's, I mean, what? How do you make sense of that? Not just from a business perspective and charging higher fees, in introducing new capital flow, but just missing out on what's so obvious. Like, Bitcoin is so obvious. If you spend 10 hours, 5 hours, have someone explain it to you like in a very simple way, which is totally can be done. So oof, this is a big oof.
Amen. Okay, up next, we've got there's only 21 million tweeted. I want to calculate the value of $5,000 investment in Bitcoin, I guess, annually over the next 20 years, assuming a CAGR of 60%. And the answer is that it turns into $60 million, $60 million cuckbucks. So Bitcoin is our way out. I'll just personally say, I'll hand it off to you guys, but I think 60% CAGR for 20 years is probably bullish. I don't make price predictions or anything. That said, I wouldn't be surprised if we are still much higher than this. I think that we're going to see probably something more akin to an Omega candle at some point. I think there's going to be capitulation on a broad scale, and we're going to see incredible purchasing power over a shorter time horizon. But then I think that the CAGR is going to begin to dampen, and we're going to start using Bitcoin as money on a more regular basis. And people who, like us, who are already doing that are just at the forefront of everything. Would love to hear your take on this. Let's just spend a minute on this because we've got one more to get to and need to wrap up here. Greer, what do you think?
Yeah, 60% CAGR could be a little generous, but even cut it in half, 20 years, that's still 30 million if you're investing 5K a year. So I, you know, to me, it's like, okay, don't do the car payment, right? Don't buy the new car, spend the money on Bitcoin every month.
and do it diligently. You know, we want the number to go up tomorrow, but if you take a 10-year time frame as your minimum, you know, it's, you can get to 10 years, you can get to 15 years, and depending on what age you are, obviously, you can be in a good spot with a modest investment. So to me, this is about, okay, what in my life can I cut out and then allocate that money towards Bitcoin instead, and then do it for the long term. Say this is something I'm going to hold on to for the rest of my life. And at the end, you will be rewarded, even if Bitcoin only goes up 20% a year. I mean, we're still, if everybody did this, there'd be a lot less Bitcoin. It'd be a lot higher price. And this model would be, you know, destroyed like all the others.
Brandon, you think this is the way it plays out, or are you thinking something different?
Yeah, I am very bullish, like we said earlier. I would not be surprised. I think more importantly, though, money is psychological. I mean, all these things are psychological at the end of the day. I mean, life is just, you know, the stories we tell ourselves. So that's why I think it is important to push the Overton window. And, you know, whether it ends up being 59% and not 60, or it could be 100%. Who knows? I have no idea. It could be, you know, 30%. But pushing the Overton window, and I think in waking people up, is really one of the biggest marketing tools we have, because again, it is psychological. So if people are coming in, it's on each person to educate themselves, and we help do those things, obviously. But pushing Overton window is never a bad thing, and I think that's the fight that we're in. We're in an information war, so we have to keep pushing that. And to me, that is the number one thing. So doing it with, you know, there's nuance and, you know, being what's the right word? I want to say classy, but like, you know, doing it and backing up your thesis. Obviously, you can't just be like, oh, that's going to go up 10,000% a year for the next 30 years. Like, obviously not. But hey, here's my argument. This is why. And it's, again, at the end of the day, money is psychological. It's a psychological engine. And, you know, just like inflation is, or like hyperinflation, those are psychological events where people believe something and then all of a sudden just cascades a belief of like, oh, they don't have it, or something, you know, I got to go get my money. Those are psychological plays that happen, and it happens both directions. So I think that's why it's important that we do talk about this stuff and talk about, hey, this is what could potentially happen and probably will, to wake people up.
All righty, guys, just for kicks, this last one, we'll have a little laugh at Kanye. So he launched his crypto token Yeezy. It says 24 hours ago. By the time you're watching this, folks, it'll be probably 72 hours or something like that. But it's plummeted by 75% since. I think we've seen this before, maybe many, many times. It usually has a celebrity or a VC backing it. So I'll just let either of you guys take this one and have a laugh.
I brought up Haktua coin. That's offline. I was like, what's Haktua up to? How's that coin doing? I mean, this is, again, it's just, if people are going to gamble. I forgot where I found this. I got to find this, but like, people are addicted to losing. A lot of people are addicted to losing. That's why casinos in general are very full. And there's different, again, there's nuance to that. People are, you know, they're on hard times, so they're trying to just make it in one swoop. But people are addicted to like the dopamine of losing as well. And this is just another form of whatever, your fantasy sports, your esports, you're going to the casino. Here, I'm going to get some tokens. And they want that dopamine pump. They want that adrenaline rush of like, oh my gosh. And like, this, look at it going up. And then it crashes. This is like most people, like even the stock market, even if you like, you know, the guys that like, they bought Apple in, you know, 1997 or whatever. They're like, yeah, I had $1 million and then I let it go. It's like, or, you know, I didn't sell it or whatever. And it's like, oh, why is that? People are addicted to like the what if it goes up another 5% or 10%, and they don't have the emotional EQ or the EQ to say, you know what, I'm going to do the smart play. I'm going to do the low time preference thing. So here we are.
Over and over again.
Over and over.
Slow and steady wins the race. Don't chase Fortis, the fast baby. Money. Just buy Bitcoin slow and steady. You'll be fine.
Well said. Hey, Brandon, why don't you give everyone a handoff? Really appreciate you joining again.
Yeah. It's such a blast being on with you guys. You can catch our podcast, Playable Character Show, on my YouTube channel. It's Brandon_Gentile, just my name, you know, Brandon_Gentile. That's my Twitter handle. Everything. I help Aladdin with Bitcoin trading cards as well. And those guys are just doing some incredible things behind the scenes. And they're probably going to be the next Pokemon, which are for reasons. And that's not even my word saying that. Some people that work with Pokemon saying things like that. So it's the stuff's going to come that they're going to do in the next 5-10 years is going to blow people's minds, and all for the bright orange future and pushing forward freedom and sound money principles and first principle thinking. So just a lot of cool things that are being done in the background, going back to this education thing we're talking about here. So just thanks for having me on, guys. And I look forward to doing it more.
Love it. Hey, Greer, why don't you tell people where to find your bird flip gear and tell them about the MJ-inspired apparel that you now have up.
That's right, man. We got a black trucker hat with a bird flip logo. Yep, it says inspired by MJ on there. So thank you for the idea. And yeah, now you can pay in Bitcoin. So shopbirdflip.com, pay in Bitcoin. And it's, you know, it's right next to the dollar choice if you want that instead. But yeah, it's been great and awesome to see the response. You know, orders are coming in like within 10 minutes of turning on that feature.
I love it, man. So if you got your Bulls jersey and you need some more MJ swag, you got a bird flip hat that you can buy now. For everyone listening, thank you so much for tuning in. Stick around for another minute, learn a bit about the Bitcoin way. In the meantime, gents, it's been an absolute blast. Look forward to catching up with you both soon. Cheers. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe. Stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.